This is Warriors Training Camp, fueled by Gatorade. I'm Lawrence Scott, and we're joined by Warriors broadcaster Jim Barnett. R.C. Davis is here as well, as we want to discuss the start of a brand new season and what training camp can represent to a team that really has improved in many ways. And you think about that, Jim, it's almost astonishing to think a team that won the NBA title, also won 67 games and was 16-1 in the playoffs could be better. But you look at the roster and, hey, it's happening.
Well, the last 3 years, and which includes two championships, they've won more games in those 3 years than any team in history. It speaks for itself. And the main thing is they got the core to come back. You know, they've got long-term contract now with Stephen Curry. Kevin Durant's not going anywhere. People understand that. He knows that. So you've got your nucleus of stars that are coming back, four All-Stars from last year, and a Defensive Player of the Year, and Draymond Green. And that's the first step. And then they got Andre Iguodala, who is a terrific sixth man. We know that. And Sean Livingston. So a lot of people thought they were going to lose them. Then you add in Zaza Pachulia and David West. So now you've got the nucleus, and so then they go out and they sign people like Omer Caspi, who can shoot threes, who's been around the league, understands. And Nick Young, who a lot of people thought that's someone that would never pass up a shot. He never seen a shot that he didn't like. But you bring those players in, like JaVale McGee last year, and they brought him back again. Some people had labeled him a malcontent, immature, all these things. But what happens when they get around the climate of the Warriors? And it starts with Steve Kerr, but then you've got Stephen Curry, who's the leader of the team, and the kind of people that they are, these people conform. Because deep down inside, everyone wants to win. And everyone will do their part to win. So the Golden State Warriors have a real pattern and a magic touch to bring out the best of people, to bring out the best of basketball players. And all of a sudden, bad habits or whatever people may think, those are thrown aside. And you get the best of all of those players. And that's what helps to make a winning combination.
There's a young guy that we saw in the mix at Summer League, drafted and brought in by the Warriors this year, Jordan Bell, former University of Oregon Duck, and another guy from the Ducks team, Chris Boucher, who will be on a two-way contract and spending some time in Santa Cruz. But when you think of those two guys and what you've seen of them, and you have seen some of them because you've followed the Ducks program and what they're doing, but good additions as well.
I can't believe a team would take $3.5 million to give up Jordan Bell. It blows my mind because this guy can play. He's going to play for the Warriors this year. You can't say that about everybody. I'm hoping Damian Jones, who was their number one last year, he's going to spend time in Santa Cruz as well as he did last year. And, okay, Damian, I think, he's athletic. He's got a lot of talent and everything, but he wasn't ready to play yet. Jordan Bell is ready to play. I will say that right now. He would have played a lot of minutes on any team because he knows what his strength is, and he's very special, going and getting rebounds and playing defense. And the Warriors won't need his scoring. See, that's the luxury that they have. Chris Boucher, I've met him at training camp and a media day, and I really like him, and it's unfortunate he got hurt last year. The Ducks might have gone all the way and won the championship with him because he's 6'11", and he can shoot from the outside, and he can block shots too. And so he's going to bring something. The Warriors, to me, it's like the rich get richer. And I will say this, Lawrence. I believe the only team that can beat the Warriors are themselves. If they stay healthy, I think this is a transformative team. We used to talk about Steph Curry as a transformative player. I think from the top down, from Joe Lacob, Peter Guber, the way they run this organization, and then you get to Bob Myers, or you get to the basketball side. You couldn't have the two-time executive of the year now in the NBA in his short stint. He just has it, what it takes to be a winner. And then you throw in Steve Kerr, whom everyone knows how great he is and what he does and how he communicates with everybody across the board from 1 to 100, and he knows how to do that. And you've got the great players. I can talk about other teams, and I don't care how much they load up, they are going to be hard pressed to beat the Warriors.
We'll get back to that in a second about some other teams, but you know, you think back to Friday's media day, which is really in many ways like the first day of school. You get a vibe, you get a feeling for what the year will be. And our executive producer for Warriors Sound, R.C. Davis, was working with the players to set up some interviews and also have some of the liners they read for our different radio broadcasts and just the mood, the vibe that you sensed. I mean, what were some of the takeaways you had on Media Day?
Very loose, even with all the stories going on around and other parts of the newspaper that aren't normally there. The vibe was very positive, glad to be back. Guys were funny, guys were teasing each other, and that's what it's all about. No team at the pro level has ever been like this, and I think Tim Roy said it best. This team now belongs at the table with some of the best teams ever. You had mentioned that three-year run, and they're expected to win now and next year. How did you, Jim, deal with pressure like that when you had a target on your back when you played?
I think as an NBA player, you like that pressure. You're used to it. That's what you have done all your life. That's where I think that when players go out and play, and Stephen Curry, the expectations that he has personally when he goes around the league, and he only goes once to Detroit, and he only goes once to Cleveland, once to New York, okay, and once to Washington. If you notice, that's when he's at his best. He has these great breakout games because he wants to demonstrate how good he is and make it valid to people around the league. So they don't feel that kind of pressure. That, to me, the court is their sanctuary. It's their sanctuary, and that's where they're really comfortable. Whereas other people would feel pressure like that. The great players invite pressure because it's not pressure to them. They invite the challenges. As I said before, I think the only way that this is not going to be a great season if somebody gets hurt to one or two players that are, they can survive one. They can survive one of the best of all of those four we talk about, the All-Stars, and still be very, very good. They might even win a championship that way. The real test for them and the real struggle, because it gets long psychologically, the season is demanding on you physically and psychologically and emotionally. The toughest thing for them this year is an 82-game schedule, an 82-game regular season. Are they going to get fatigued that way? Would they fall into some bad habits? They've got incredible chemistry, and I know Al Attles, great longtime coach of the Warriors, GM as well. He was my coach. He used to say, chemistry, you don't know how you got it, and you don't know how you lost it. I believe this team is impervious to losing that kind of chemistry because they have too many ingredients. It's not just one or two guys. And they're leaders, and the two, obviously top scorers with Durant and Curry, they're not going to falter. They're not going to fall by the wayside. They're not going to break down. So they hold everybody together. Draymond Green, as volatile as Draymond Green is, they need that, and they accept him, and he's embraced. He may be confrontational at times, but they know that, and they let that stuff go, and it somehow it all works and makes them better.
It makes like a full team personality to have various personalities as an extension of different parts of one's psyche come together as one.
It's different, yes, but these are mature individuals. The Warriors are blessed to have these players who are so mature and see the bigger picture. And as I say, it's a perfect marriage with Steve Kerr there. And I will say, as RC talked about the great teams, I came to the Celtics in 1966. They'd won 8 straight championships. We forget about that era, and rightfully so in a lot of ways. It was a different league, but they had won 8 straight. We never talk about them as being the great teams. The two great teams they talk about in the 80s are the Lakers and the Celtics, and then, of course, Michael Jordan's Bulls in the 90s. And that's pretty valid. I will say this. To me, the Warriors are as close to the Showtime Lakers, who won 5 championships in the 80s. And that's what I like about, because they play with a splash and a zeal that people have these expectations. When are they going to all of a sudden go on that 16-2 run? That's what you always anticipated with the Lakers under Pat Riley and Magic Johnson and James Worthy and Kareem and Michael Cooper and running the floor and doing that. They were exciting to watch. The Warriors aren't like that exactly, but that's the closest to me. And I do think they've already etched, and I expect them to win more championships. But right now, what they've done the last 3 years, they're already put in that kind of category to me, the Lakers of the 80s, because that's when I really, I have to tell you, I loved watching basketball then. I had just come out of the league just in 1977, and when, and I can go right down the list. You know, the Lakers won it in 80, the Celtics won it in 81, the Lakers won it in 82, the Philadelphia Sixers come in there with Fo and Malone and Dr. J in 83, and then it's back to the Celtics in 84, the Lakers in 85, the Celtics in 86, 87, 88, back-to-back with the Lakers, and then you get the Bad Boys in Detroit for the last run there, 89-90. So to me, it was a great decade of basketball, and I think the Warriors are rightly placed in that company.
All right, a couple of notes. I mean, you mentioned Moses. The Warriors going five, which was fun. And you think of the East and the West. I want to talk to you about that both. RC, you handle the Eastern Conference. Then we'll give Jim the Western Conference and who improved themselves. But thinking back to that era of Lakers basketball that you were just talking about, Jonathan Hawk, the executive producer of a tremendous 30 for 30 trilogy that was a five-hour-long documentary, essentially, with the Lakers and Celtics going head-to-head and just seeing the speed that the Lakers were playing with at that time period and seeing that the Celtics, in their own way, were able to manage that in one of those finals with some strong play was just fascinating to see again and not just have it as your memory. If you haven't seen that documentary or that series of three documentaries, do check that out. And this brings us to the Celtics now in the East making big moves and teams that are improving in the West. But let's start with the Eastern Conference. RC, who is taking the big step forward here in the East?
Well, it could be Cleveland, could be Boston. Dwayne Wade was bought out just this morning. Doug Collins taking a Jerry West-type role with the Bulls, and they got that deal done. Wade took less money to leave. Rumor is he could go to Cleveland. That could be a game changer. I think people worried about if Hayward was the best player on the Celtics, even in the East, was that good enough? Now with Kyrie, they could win the East again. After those two teams, maybe you can mention Milwaukee with Giannis, but it really falls downhill from there. Wouldn't you agree, Jim?
The West got stronger, the East got weaker, and that's been the trend for the last few years. The Celtics are young, they're building, they got a great coach. I thought it was a great acquisition to get Hayward. He's back with his college coach, and I think it's a huge upgrade if they go from Isaiah Thomas to Kyrie Irving. There's no question, but Kyrie Irving to me is one of the most exciting players I've ever seen, and there's no one his size that gets to the basket and finishes as well.
Do you think we're going to see a different game from Kyrie? Do you think that the shackles are off, so to speak?
I think he had enough freedom. But there's only so many times you're going to be able to shoot when you're playing with LeBron James. I think the shackles were, when he took the ball, I didn't see him give it up too often, but he's going to have more opportunity now. He'll get more shots because he's going to demand the ball, and when it's in his hands, and he's such a great finisher. You know, your strength is also your weakness, so he's going to, when he drives in there, he's not looking to pass it off. He'll take these incredible shots, left-handed or right-handed, but he has the capability of finishing like I've never seen with his size and the soft touch that he has. But Hayward, he's going to get more open shots, and he's an excellent basketball player and a shooter as well. So they gave up a little bit defensively in that trade. So that's, I don't know whether they're going to be better defensively or not. That's one thing I would say about Boston.
So when we look at the West, the team that we will see first at Oracle Arena to start the regular season, the Houston Rockets for that opening night will be very exciting night as opening night presented by Chase. We'll see all fans in attendance receiving a championship T-shirt as the team celebrates with the banner unveiling and the ring ceremony. And you look at what is to come there. You also look at a Houston Rockets team that, with Chris Paul coming to the team, got substantially better or different in some ways that should play in many ways to giving James Harden, when he's not on the court, a running mate, so to speak, that does carry his weight. But as Houston, you say on paper, is improving, and you see other teams in the West improving like you said they did, who do you think takes the big step forward in the West, Jim?
Well, Houston has to be one of those teams that you mentioned. They got better last year when Dwight Howard left, and they brought in Ryan Anderson, and they've gotten better from three-point range, and they understand how that works with D'Antoni behind the helm there. Obviously, Harden, you may not like him, you may not like his game, but he can beat you, and he's tough to stop. And I think the Warriors have played him better than anybody else in the league, by the way. They've got his number. They know how to play him pretty well, but he's still a great player. Now you bring in Chris Paul. Obviously, they're going to be better. He's going to be a stabilizing influence, but there's still only one basketball there, and he likes to handle the ball. Harden likes to handle the ball. I'm interested to see how that works out, but I'm going to say right here and now that the Houston Rockets cannot beat the Golden State Warriors with the addition of Chris Paul. It's going to help. I don't think Chris Paul is getting any better. I think they've kind of neutralized him even when he was with the Clippers the last couple of years. The Warriors have owned the Clippers the past couple of years too. So I hope I don't have to eat any of these words. Obviously, the one team that I think is a legitimate threat is Oklahoma City, because they've got the reigning MVP in Russell Westbrook, and no one, we talk about Kyrie going and finishing, but Westbrook does it his own way. He doesn't have the finesse around the basket, but he comes with such a ferocious pace to the rim, time and time again. He'd be one of the players. I've always thought if I could just go back and be young again for a few games, I'd love to play against Russell Westbrook. I'd love to chat that kind of challenge and that kind of speed that he has. And so then they add Paul George, and now they've added Carmelo Anthony. So they've got some stars, but I'm not sure the addition of either one of those is going to make that big of a difference. Those are more one-on-one basketball players, Paul George. I'm not sure that he's going to up his assist tone by any stretch of the imagination. And the same with Carmelo Anthony. We could sit here and maybe not even argue about it, but I'll agree, did he ever make the New York Knicks better? And I'm not sure that he did. And so I think it's interesting, and it's must-see basketball when you get that many stars. You're going to put Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green out on the court, and you're going to see Carmelo Anthony. You've got almost an all-star game when you're watching Oklahoma City go against the Warriors. It's another all-star game, except there's one big difference. Unlike the All-Star game, they'll be playing basketball. And they'll be playing basketball to win. And you're going to see some defense, which you do not see in the All-Star game, which is, to me, has become almost unwatchable the last few years.
Guys, just tremendous. And our conversations will continue throughout the season as we're just getting started here at Training Camp, fueled by Gatorade, for Jim Barnett and RC Davis. I'm Lawrence Scott. This is Warrior Sound.